The Pepsodent Show, presenting A Date with Judy.
Hello?
Judy?
Why, hello.
Judy, I'd like to ask you for a date tonight. Of course, I don't have a big car like Ozzie Prindle, and I know I'm not as good-looking as Ozzie Prindle, and I don't have as much money as Ozzie Prindle, but could I have a date anyhow?
Why, certainly, but can I ask you one question?
Sure, Judy.
How can I get in touch with Ozzie Prindle?
Uh-huh, you've got a date with Judy, chaperoned by Pepsodent. But first, here's a 30-second beauty hint entitled, How to Have a Gleaming, Bright Smile to Go with Your Summer Coat of Tan. Just go to work on your teeth with high-polish Pepsodent tooth powder. But be sure it's Pepsodent. For in competition with all other leading brands of tooth powder, Pepsodent was found to produce a higher shine, a more beautiful luster on teeth than any other. Twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands. So there you are, for a gleaming smile that's twice as bright, then go to your drug counter and say, Pepsodent tooth powder, please. Well, it's a nice sunshiny morning in the town Judy Foster lives in, and her 10-year-old brother Randolph, one of Judy's major problems, is strolling down Main Street with his sidekick Curly, when they encounter one of those man-on-the-street radio interviewers.
Ah, thank you very much, sir. And now, ha, 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 look who we have here, two little gentlemen. Won't you step right up, young man?
Sure, why not? Come on, Randolph.
May I have your names?
Tell them your name, Stinky. My name's Sylvester Whiteman. Everybody calls me Curly, though.
Except me, I call him Stinky.
And what is your name, my little man?
Randolph Foster. What's yours, my little man?
Well, that's the sort of reversing the procedure a little. I'm smiling. Yes, smiling, Ren Niles. The sidewalk interviewer. And I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Shoot.
Do you gentlemen go to school?
In the summertime? Don't be a drip.
We're a newspaper man.
Really? What newspaper?
It's the Tri-Monthly Tri-Boy Tribune. I'm editor-in-chief.
That's only because his father owns a mimeograph machine.
And what's your official position?
Me? I'm sports editor.
And society editor.
Do I have to get that society stuff?
You sure do.
But I don't want to. I'm the sports editor type.
You either get the society news or you're fired, Randolph.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, this is Smiling Ren Niles, ladies and gentlemen. Your old sidewalk interviewer. Now, run along, boy.
There isn't any justice. Muse covers the He-Man versus Superman baseball game. Me, the sports editor deluxe.
Who's editor-in-chief of this outfit?
Now, Randolph Stinky, please, we're on the air.
Who wants to be a society editor?
Just a minute, boys, a minute.
The table was tastefully decorated in green and pews.
Oh, please, please.
Festoons of stinkweed made the nuptial bower a veritable garland. Boy.
Been any phone calls for me this morning?
This morning, Judy? Do you mean to tell me you know anyone who gets up before noon during summer vacation?
I mean this date I had last night. He said he wouldn't sleep all night.
He promised, Judy?
Oh, he's utterly feverish about me. He said my eyelashes were luscious. He just said everything. Oh, he poured on the roses.
And now, just like any old lug, he sleeps all night through and doesn't call you in the morning. Man, man.
He said he was going to rush me every moment of the day and night. Mother, will you please stop sorting the dirty wash while I'm confiding in you? And here it is, 11:30. Don't you think he's an ick for not having phoned?
He's a villain.
Mother, I wish you wouldn't tear up Father's shorts into dish rags while I'm talking to you.
Oh, look at that. I don't know where that man gets so many holes in his underwear.
It's not from doing the rumba.
What?
Oh, this is Smiling Randolph Foster, your old society editor.
What? Randolph!
Mother, have you been to any shindigs lately?
Shindigs, Randolph. What sort of shindigs?
Oh, society stuff. Weddings, teas, receptions, hen parties, anything you've got.
Randolph, I was talking to Mother.
Well, you don't have a monopoly. Mother, how about it? Haven't you been anyplace lately?
Well, one night last week, your father and I went bowling. And one night, we went to a weenie roast.
Socially, Mother, you're a total loss. Well, if you hear of any social items, let me know.
I will, dear. Why don't you ask Mrs. Slutshammer next door if she has any items? She always knows everything that goes on in this neighborhood.
Okay, but if you happen to be presented at court or anything before my deadline, let me in on it.
Ho, 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 Mrs. Slutshammer, this is smiling Randolph Foster, your old society editor.
He's a dreadful drain on my vitality.
Oh, is he? I personally am very fond of him.
Oh, that's it. I'll answer it, Mother. It's my last night's date. I knew he wouldn't be able to sleep. Hello? Oh, hello. Yes. Yes, she is. Mother, it's for you.
Oh, for me? Is it a girl or a man? Or am I quoting you, dear?
It's a man.
Well, I hope it's a sugar puss. And not the garage mechanic telling me we need a new battery. Hello? Who? Sydney. Not Sydney Holland. Whatever are you doing in town after all these years? Well, Sydney. Oh, this is a surprise, hearing your voice again. But do you know I recognized it almost immediately? No, really, I did. Why, how could I forget you? Your image is engraved indelibly upon my heart. Tell me what you're doing here.
Do you hear a clicking sound on the wire, Mother? It usually clicks when somebody's trying to get us.
Oh, how exciting. Of course I'm interested, Sydney. How could I help but be? I'll tell you what, Sydney, I won't say a word to my husband. The hotel? Today? Oh, Sydney, I'd adore it, but I've so many things to do. Well, all right, I'll just drop everything. I'll meet you there at 1 o'clock. Goodbye.
Who is that?
An old beau of mine. Turned out to be a sugar puss, after all. Well, I've got to hurry and get these things together and go.
Where are you going?
I have a rendezvous. Your old mother has a rendezvous, Judy. Isn't that luscious?
Did you know him before you knew Father?
I did. He was utterly feverish about me. He didn't sleep all night for nights and nights.
Mother!
Well, you sound shocked, dear.
Well, I should think you'd have some loyalty for Father.
Oh, I do, of course. But I always say a sugar puss is a sugar puss.
Is he handsome?
Sydney? Oh, there's glamour written all over his sugar puss. I have a picture of him I might show you sometime. In a football uniform. Very collegiate, as the quaint old phrase went in my day.
You haven't kept a picture of him all these eons.
Oh, yes, all these eons. Dear, why don't you scram in a quiet way? I'm terribly busy.
I see. Well, I wouldn't dream of being in your way. Perhaps you'd like me to get out of the house completely.
Well, of course not, dear.
I'll go over to Gloria's. She doesn't mind having me around.
My, how sensitive we are today. Let me see. 8 sheets, 12 pillowcases, 17 bath towels. Oh, what was keeping that laundress? 4 wash rags, 6 napkins, 11 face towels. Hello? Oh, hello, Woody. Has Petunia left yet? Just left, eh? Well, I'm afraid I can't wait for her. I guess she'll know what to do about stretching the curtains. I'll leave a note. Thank you, Woody.
Where was I now?
5 dish towels, 8 pairs of socks. Oh, I'll never get away. Hello? Oh, hello, Mrs. Cambridge. Oh, those old clothes for the club rummage sale. I have them already, but I have an appointment at... Oh, your house? Yes, I could drop them off there. I'll just stick them in a suitcase and leave them with you. That'll be fine. Oh, I'm an ick to have forgotten. Ick, Mrs. Cambridge. I-C-K.
Mother! Mother! Anyone home? Isn't anybody home?
Ho, ho, ho! Smiling Randolph Foster's home.
If you consider that anybody, and there are some times I think you don't.
Where's Mother?
I don't know.
Oh, I remember. She had a date at a hotel with a glamorous man.
Mother did? At a hotel?
Yes.
How long is she going to stay?
Well, how should I know?
She had a pretty big suitcase with her.
A suitcase, Randolph? Oh, Randolph,
She's eloped.
Oh, Mother? You mean with a man?
Oh, Randolph, how are we going to break the news to Father?
Well, imagine seeing you two here at my factory. Not only my son, but my daughter. This is indeed a surprise. Wait here in my office just a minute, you two. I have to go and tell my stenographer something. Be right back.
Let me do the talking, Randolph. I'm more tactful.
I think this is a bunch of bunk, Judy. I've always trusted Mother.
You wouldn't talk that way if you'd heard her raving about this man this morning. Why, from the moment she heard his voice, she was a dead pigeon. He lured her right over the telephone.
I bet all he lured her into was buying a vacuum cleaner.
Poor Father. He'll be utterly stricken. Oh, here he comes. Brace yourself, Randolph.
I'm braced.
All right, kids. I'm free now. Tell me what's on your minds and how much it's going to cost me.
Father, there's something we've got to tell you.
Hmm?
But before we say anything, there's something you have to promise us.
All right, I'm in a good humor.
I want you to promise you won't shoot anybody.
Shoot anybody?
With a gun. At first, it'll be difficult, but later on, when you become rational, you'll thank me for making you refrain from taking another's life.
Hey, what is this?
Father, prepare yourself for a terrific shock. I wish I could spare you, if only for a few more hours of happiness.
Judy, you've spared me long enough. I haven't got a few hours to be spared. I've got a sales meeting in a little while, so stop sparing me any longer and tell me quick.
It's about somebody very near and dear to you.
For the love of heaven, I don't want to play guessing games. Who's sick? Come on, let me have it.
Well, nobody's sick at all, Father. It isn't a question of illness. It's something else entirely.
Judy,
Father,
if you don't...
Mother eloped with another man.
What?
Oh, Randolph, how could you say such a thing before I prepared Father properly? Oh, Father, I feel dreadful. I meant to break it to you gradually. I wanted
what
to...
What Sam Hill are you prattling about? Did you come down here to tell me a fish story like this? Your mother would no sooner elope with another man than I would.
And I couldn't see you eloping with another man. I've been telling Judy that
it's true, Father. I heard her personally on the telephone saying she'd meet him at a hotel. And then she went off with a suitcase.
Well, he's probably a wholesale furrier, and she's meeting him there to... Why, she was saying the other day she wished she could get a fur wholesale.
The suitcase, Father.
Well, she's probably carrying her knitting in it. Lord only knows what women are likely to carry their knitting in these days.
I'm sorry, Father. But I personally heard her say he was glamorous. Can you stand this, darling? I heard her say she never could forget him, and that his image was engraved indelibly upon her heart.
Indelibly upon her... Your mother doesn't talk that way.
Not to you, Father. But she did to Sidney.
Sidney? Sidney who?
I can't remember his last name. I think it began with an H.
Sidney Holland?
Yes, Father. He's the man. So you knew about him all these eons.
Knew what?
That she cared.
Cared, my eye, that fat fool from Ashtabula, Ohio. He's got ears that stick out like...
Mother thinks he's handsome.
Handsome? Sidney Holland? Flat feet, couldn't even get in the army in 1918.
Well, Mother has a picture of him in a football uniform.
Football, ha. That's a good one. I'd like to see Sidney play football.
Up until now, I too thought Mother had gone to see a wholesale furrier carrying her knitting in a suitcase. But in view of your remarks about Mr. Holland, Father, ugly doubts are beginning to rear their fat heads with ears that stick out like...
Be quiet, Randolph. Father, I suggest you come home now and try to get some rest. I'll do the driving. Randolph and I will help you out to the car.
I'll do no such thing. I'm staying right here. The whole thing's perfectly ridiculous. I don't believe a word of it. Your mother would no more look at Sidney Holland than Miss Henkel. I'm going home for the day. Break my appointment. Come on, children. We'll go home. I don't know why I'm doing this. Your mother's probably there baking a cake or something.
Just lean on Randolph and me as you walk, Father.
Well, you can always depend on one thing. When Judy gets going, things really happen. For example, that was Judy's idea of how to break a bit of news gently. We'll see the results of that gentle treatment in just a moment. But right now, here's a bit of news that doesn't need to be broken gently. It's about how to get double value in toothbrushes. You see, Pepsodent's 50 Tough toothbrush is the only toothbrush in the world that gives you double cleansing power, double brushing power, and double the number of tufts in a modern small-type head. Now, obviously, you get double value because the Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush means cleansing power twice that of any other brush, brushing power twice as efficient, and bristles that are springier, easier on your gums because there are twice as many tufts. Just go to your nearest drug counter tonight and ask for a Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush. When you get it home, break the seal at the end of the sanitary glass container. Remove the brush and throw the container away. Then you'll see why we say you get double value, because the Pepsodent 50 Tough toothbrush feels different, has a more pleasant action in your mouth than any other brush you've ever used before. Do it tonight, will you? Well, let's see. The family thinks Mother has run off with Sidney Holland. Father has been reluctantly led home from the office by an overly sympathetic daughter. Here they all are, walking up the Foster steps.
Well, I'll show you she's home right now. Dora! Dora!
It's hopeless, Father. The sooner you reconcile yourself to the fact that
Dora!
She...
Dora! That's funny. Maybe she's in the kitchen. Dora? No, she's not here.
There's a note here on the kitchen table.
A note?
It must be Mother's farewell note.
Let me see it. Had to leave. Get on as well as you can without me. Signed, Mrs. Foster.
She didn't need to be that formal.
Well, she could hardly sign it Mother any longer, if she's no longer a mother to us. Nor could she sign it your loving wife, if she's no longer... Oh, excuse me, Father.
Maybe we ought to check if it's in her handwriting. I could put it under my microscope and check it with another specimen of her hand.
Sidney Holland? He can't even swim. He took your mother on a picnic once, and the canoe tipped over. He blubbered in the water like an oversized whale.
Father, you won't forget your promise, will you? About not tracking him down and shooting him, I mean.
Sidney Holland? When he was 23, his hair started falling out.
They probably wouldn't give you the electric chair, but there will be a long jail term and additional disgrace and...
What do you mean, additional?
I mean everybody talking. When I think of what Mrs. Schlutzhammer up next door alone will say when the news of Mother's elopement comes out...
Excuse me a minute, please. I have to go in the other room to make an important telephone call.
Sidney,
hello, Curly. Ha, ha, ha! This is smiling Randolph Foster. Have I got some hot news for the society page. Take this down, Curly. Mr. Melvin Foster of Elm Street announces the elopement of his wife, Dora, to a Mr. Sidney Holland of Ashtabula, Ohio. That is all.
Gee, Gloria, I'm glad you dropped in. You're just in time to help me cook supper.
What are you cooking supper for? Where's your mother?
Oh, the most terrible thing has happened, Gloria. Now, this is absolutely confidential. So I want you to promise you won't say a thing about it until everybody else is talking about it anyhow, so it won't matter.
I promise.
Okie dokie. Well, Mother has run off with another man.
With another? Honestly?
Yes. It's dreadful. I'm too positively worried about Father. He's utterly stricken.
Jeepers. Jeepers, that's grim.
I know. So you see what a responsibility I have. It's up to me to try to take Mother's place. I'm going to keep house for Father and cook his meals and make him as comfortable as I can and comfort him. And well, I'm just going to do everything to bring a little comfort into his poor, broken life.
Jeepers.
So that's why I'm cooking dinner. Look, Gloria, this fish was in the icebox. What'll I do with it?
Gee, so raw.
I know. Doesn't it look awful?
Is it dead?
Well, I think it's dead. It hasn't moved for 5 minutes.
That's good. Because I wouldn't like to have to kill it.
I wouldn't either. But I think we can go on the assumption it's dead. But then what do we do?
I don't know. I think it has to be cooked. And we have fish for supper at home and it comes on the table all cooked. With a slice of lemon in its mouth.
A slice of lemon? That's a good tip, Gloria. That's just what I'll do. I'll put a slice of lemon in its mouth.
I'd cook it, too, if I were you.
Well, all right. Gee, it certainly is going to be hard to take Mother's place now that she's run off with another man. Don't ever let anybody tell you it's easy for a girl whose mother has eloped.
Aren't you going to have anything else for supper but fish?
Well, I was going to make spaghetti, but it's all long and stiff and it won't fit into the pan.
Maybe... Maybe you need a longer pan.
Well, there aren't any longer pans except the dish pan. Oh, it'd fit in that.
Well, then use the dish pan. I think you have to put water in it, too.
Well, hot or cold water?
I don't know. Well, let's not take any chances. Let's make it half hot water and half cold water. Sort of mix them up a little bit.
Well, thank everything. We'll have a good supper tonight. What a comfort that'll be to Father.
Can't eat a bite of this. What'd you do to this fish? Cook it in soap suds?
Really, Father, I was only trying to...
Spaghetti is very interesting, too. If I shut my eyes and I never take the chance, I couldn't tell it from angleworms. All it needs is big blue eyes.
Randolph!
Well, it tastes like angleworms.
Did you ever taste an angleworm?
I don't have to now. I've tasted the spaghetti.
For the love of heaven, what are these supposed to be, shoe buttons?
They're peas, Father. I tried so hard. I worked my finger to the bone trying to make a good dinner for you, and all you do is talk about angleworms and shoe buttons.
What I like is the expression on the fish's face. Sort of dejected.
Yeah, well, you'd be dejected, too, if you went through what that fish has just gone through.
Of appreciation I get for trying to make a home for you and keep the family together and housekeeping.
Oh, I wish I knew where your mother was.
Thanks ever so much, Mrs. Gray. It's so late. My family will think I've run off or something.
I'm glad to do it, Mrs. Foster.
Goodbye.
Bye. Mrs. Foster! Mrs. Foster?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Lutzhammer, is that you? I can hardly see you over there in the window.
Well, I saw you coming along the street, and I thought I'd say hello. So you've decided to come back, have you?
What do you mean?
Given him up, haven't you? Well, believe me, Mrs. Foster, you've done the wise thing.
Well, Mrs. Butthammer, I really don't understand what you...
Oh, and I'm glad you decided to come back so soon. When I saw this item in the Tri-Monthly Tri-Boy Tribune, I said to Mrs. Butthammer, I can't believe a woman like Dora Foster would do...
What item do you mean?
Oh... You probably haven't seen it. Well, it was just delivered on this street just a few minutes ago. I have it right here. I'll read it to you. Mr. Melvin Foster of Elm Street announces the elopement of his wife, Dora, to Mr. Sidney Holland.
Dessert, that's what it is. I don't know what's so mysterious about it. I got it right out of the cookbook. It's called Floating Island.
It floats all right.
Somebody just came in. Dora.
Mother. It's Mother.
Well.
So, you decided to leave, Mr. Holland, and return to your unglamorous old husband, huh?
You too, Melvin. Well, I never heard of anything like this in all my life. I just can't believe... Randolph. I have here a copy of the Tri-Monthly Tri-Boy Tribune.
You have?
Mrs. Lutzhammer gave it to me. Mrs. Lutzhammer, of all people, the biggest gossip in town. Look at this. Mr. Melvin Foster of Elm Street announces the elopement of his wife.
What? Let me see it. For the love of heaven.
How could you do a thing like this to your father and me, Randolph?
Oh, I guess I'm a newspaper man first and a family man second.
And you, Melvin Foster. Why, when I came in, you acted as though you thought I had a loan.
Well, I the note and everything.
The note? What note?
It was on the kitchen table.
Oh, I left that note for Petunia about stretching the curtains.
Oh, was it for Petunia?
Well, how about the suitcase?
The suitcase? I was just taking some old clothes to Mrs. Cambridge's for the rummage sale. What's come over this family? I never... Melvin.
Huh?
If you really want to know what I was doing all this time, I was getting an order for your factory.
What?
Sidney Holland and his father have bought out a salmon canning factory, and they're going to need thousands of cans every month. I went down and had lunch with them both, and...
Both?
I wanted to surprise you on what happened. I come up the street, and I'm told I've eloped with the... What's this on the table? Is this my fish?
We had a hard time recognizing it, too.
Well, I was only doing my best, trying to take your place in the home and make things comfortable for Father.
Oh, you poor, dear, noble child. And you, all of you, you thought I'd run off with Sidney Holland.
With Sidney Holland.
With Sidney Holland, that fat fool. I never believed it for a moment.
With Sidney. Neither did Judy.
Prime Monthly Tri-Boy Tribune, editor-in-chief speaking.
Oh, hello, Randolph. What happened?
It wasn't? Oh, yeah, I guess we can sort of print a retroaction. I know what we'll do. We'll put out an extra. Here's what we'll say. The Tri-Monthly Tri-Boy Tribune wishes to announce that Mrs. Melvin Foster, wife of Melvin Foster of Elm Street, did not elope with her old boyfriend, Sidney Holland, of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Well, that unravels another set of complications in Judy's life. As to what happens next in her exciting young life, well, your guess is as good as mine. Oh, yes? Come in.
Ha, ha, ha! Mr. Goodwin! Just the man I've been looking for. I have here in my suitcase some beautiful framed mottos for your wall. Ah, now here's the dandy. It says, ho, 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 you can win success and win it by a mile if you always stretch your face and smile, smile, smile. Ha, ha! Beautiful, isn't it? Want one?
Now, wait a minute. That's my department. Listen to this, my high-pressure motto merchant. One way to success is, as you say, to smile at people. But that's not going to do you any good unless your smile is attractive. And that means you've got to have better than just a halfway tooth powder that only cleans teeth. It means instead that you should choose one that not only cleans teeth, but one which actually makes teeth brighter than any other powder can. And that one is Pepsodent tooth powder. For independent laboratory tests prove beyond doubt that Pepsodent tooth powder has the power to give teeth a luster twice as bright as the average of all other brands. Thanks to Pepsodent's exclusive patented ingredient, composite metaphosphate, which Pepsodent alone contains. So if you're interested in success via the smile route, don't go just halfway. Go twice as far with Pepsodent tooth powder, which does twice as much. There, my motto merchant, what do you think of that? What was that?
Them, brother, was my mottos. Yes, sir, I'm going to sell Pepsodent tooth powder.
Well, we all have a terrifically super date with Judy again next Tuesday night. A Date with Judy with Ann Gillis, Paul McGrath, and Margaret Brayton is written by Aline Leslie and Jerry Schwartz. The music is directed by Wilbur Hatch. See you next Tuesday. Don't be late. You have a date with Judy. This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Pepsodent. This is the National Broadcasting Company.